Good morning. It's really nice to be with you this morning. If you don't know me, I'm Jacob. I'm on the preaching rota here, which is a massive honour and a privilege and a blessing. And I love standing up here, and I'm excited to share the things that I feel that God is saying. Like Pete said in the notices this morning, we're carrying on with this I Am series that we're going to be doing over the summer. So week two, we're going to be jumping into John chapter 6 in a second, if you want to grab your Bibles ready. We're going to read a decent chunk of that, and then we're going to chat about this next I Am that Jesus says. I'm going to invite Hannah up to come and read to us. It's going to be John chapter 6, verse 25, all the way down to verse 51.
Yeah, so in your Bibles in the pews, you'll find it on page 1070, John chapter 6, 25 to 51. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, for which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give, that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world."
Wonderful. Thank you. Cool. So the I Am that we're talking about today is that I Am that is in verse 36. No. 35, and also in verse 48, where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And sometimes when Jesus is speaking, and when I'm reading the Gospels and Jesus is speaking, I'm thinking, I find myself thinking, sort of, I wonder if Jesus, if he was walking around on earth for the first time today, if he never came to earth 2,000 years ago and he was just doing his ministry on earth now, he came now, and these sort of conversations and these meetings with Jesus in person were happening today, I wonder what he would change about the way he did things. And not that I think he would change the truth and the importance and the meaning and all of that that we believe that Jesus speaks with, the authority that he speaks with and the truth that he speaks. But in terms of, he was speaking to a specific people in a specific culture, and some of the things that he said were sort of specific examples that were designed to make sense to them. And to draw comparisons for them. And we're very fortunate that we have the internet. So if there's parts of the Bible that you don't understand, and you go, what's the context of this? You can just Google it. And that's really, really good. But some of the things that Jesus says, and lots of the stuff in the Bible that's written, is designed to speak to a specific people in a specific context. And that's not to say that the Bible isn't for us. Because the Bible is for us, and when it was written, God knew it would be for us, but at the time, it might not have necessarily been written to us, if that makes sense. And I sometimes think, I wonder what things Jesus would change, what examples he would change, what things would he say that are going to definitely make sense to us in our modern culture. This is one where I think he would leave it pretty much exactly as it is. We know what bread is. And one of the reasons that he was using this example of bread is because bread was a staple. Everyone knew what bread was. It didn't matter who you were, really. When Jesus is talking about, he uses the word bread quite a lot in this passage, and he's making these references to bread and bread of life. People know what bread is, and we today, we still know what bread is. We haven't got to Google what is bread, which is nice. In fact, I think it's probably still one of the foods that we eat most commonly. Who's had bread this week? Who's had bread three times this week? Who's had bread five times this week? Who's had bread this morning? Yeah, exactly. And so before we even dive into any deeper meaning about this I am statement, and before we even start digging into what Jesus was really trying to get across to people, we're already starting to identify with what he's saying. And that is the beautiful thing about Jesus when he speaks. He is a relatable speaker. And the things that he says, we can identify with them in so many ways. And so when he's talking about bread, we know that bread is something that we eat regularly, something that sustains us. It's a simple, sustaining food. And we already start to get an idea of what it is that Jesus is talking about. The passage we just read, it starts with, when they found him on the other side of the lake. And I sometimes resent the titles in the Bible, the little subtitles and stuff. I think they're very useful for finding where you want to be in the Bible, but they weren't in the original text. It's important to remember that sometimes. That actually sometimes they break up something that was written to actually be in one piece. And so if you know John, then you know that just before this, we've got the feeding of the 5,000. And so this crowd are that same crowd, that same 5,000, maybe a few dropped out or a few were added. I don't really know if it was exactly the same number. But it's those same people, because if you track back a little bit, you have the feeding of the 5,000, and they cross over the lake. Jesus walks on water, quite a big thing. And then the crowd basically are like, oh, where's that Jesus guy? We should find him again. And so they search for him. And we're just reading the point where they manage to catch up to Jesus and start to begin to say, Jesus, we love what you did with the bread and the fish. We thought that was great. Could you do that again? Could we have more of that? Can we follow you? And maybe if we follow you, then we can see more cool stuff that you're doing. Maybe we'll get some more nice free meals. And Jesus kind of turns back to them and almost rebukes them, doesn't he? He's like, you're not looking for the right thing. Maybe you've convinced yourself that you're following me for the right reasons. Maybe you think you have it figured out and you're like, yeah, this is the God that I want to follow. But I'm telling you right now that you're following me, you're not for the wrong reasons. You're not understanding what it is that I'm really trying to show you. I'm really trying to offer you. And I think Jesus does that quite a lot. He seems to sort of spend his time banging his head against a wall sometimes, like, how can you not get it? How can you not understand that the stuff that I'm doing on earth is all to point to something bigger? The bread and the fish and the feeding of the 5,000, that was a miracle. And that was a gift for the people in that moment. But it was a gift that was designed to point to something bigger and something more important. And you can say that for pretty much every single miracle that Jesus did while he was on earth. They were great. And they were gifts, and they were good gifts. If it was restoring someone's sight, that is a good gift. If it was curing them of leprosy, that was a good gift. If it was providing some nice wine at a wedding, that was a good gift. But they weren't the thing. The thing is something bigger that these things are trying to point towards. Jesus is kind of saying to them, stop looking at the thing you've been given, but instead look at the one who gave it to you. It's not about the bread and the fish. It's about me. It's about me trying to reveal to you who I am and why I am here and what I am up to. And even if you track through the whole Bible, there's so many examples of God doing something and them going, great, this is a really, really cool thing. And God going, no, it's not about that. It's about the one who has given it to you. And I want to start with a little challenge. The challenge that Jesus is offering to them, I want to challenge us in the same way. I wonder how often we do that, church. I wonder how often we focus on the thing we've been given, the gift we've been given, something good in our lives, rather than turning to Jesus and saying, wow, this thing is so amazing. So therefore, you are so much more incredible. If somebody, one of our friends, gives us something nice, it's nice to enjoy the nice thing, but it's nice to then look to that person and say, actually, because you've given me this gift, I really love and respect you even more than I did before. And I think it's similar with Jesus. He gives us so many things. But I think he says to us, just like he's saying here, it's not about the things. I give you them so that you can turn to me and see how much I love you and I care for you and I want to provide for you and I want to be there for you and sustain you and be everything that you need. And so I want to just start with a little challenge there. Stop looking at the thing you've been given, but allow that to point you towards the one who gave it. That's one challenge that he gives them, but he doesn't stop there. He keeps going. Jesus is a he likes to challenge people, likes to get them thinking. He had a mission and he wasn't going to stop until people understood what he was getting at. So just after he says, you've come here for the bread and the fish, not because of me, he then goes, why are you looking? Why are you working so hard to find food that's going to spoil? Why are you striving to find something that will only satisfy you temporarily? I can give you more bread and fish. I've got a bucket load of bread and fish. But you can't hold on to it forever because it will go bad. And if you eat it all, you're not going to be full forever. Has anyone ever been so full that you've said words to the effect of, I'm never going to eat again? I'll tell you what, I'm so full, I never need to eat again. I've been there. It doesn't often happen on purpose, actually. Normally, you're just eating a nice food, and you keep going, and you think, flipping heck, I'm never going to eat again. I'm never going to need to. I've said it, and you know what happened? I went to bed. I woke up, and I went, what's for breakfast? I ate again. Food fills us, and it's lovely, and it's great, and we like food, but it doesn't last forever. And Jesus is trying to show his people in this moment, like he's trying to tell us constantly all the time, the things of this world do not bring lasting satisfaction and do not bring lasting sustenance. And it's not just food. It's not just food. We as human beings have so many needs. We're pretty needy. We have physical needs, the food and the water, but we also have a need to look after our bodies, to exercise. We have a need to have good physical health. We have a need to have energy and keep going each morning and get up and feel strong and able to do the things that we need to do. We have emotional needs. Needs like needing relationship, people to love and to share our lives with, the good things and the bad things. Other emotional needs, things like having motivation and purpose and something to drive you and get you out of bed in the morning. We need that. And the list goes on. We could talk about financial needs, the needs to provide for ourselves and our family. And it can go on and on and on and on. And human beings, we are very, very needy. And we have so many things that we need to be provided to us. And people, because we all have them, whether you're a Christian or not, you need to eat. You need to feel strong. You need to feel driven. Whether you acknowledge it or not, we are pre-built. We are wired in with these things that we need to have. People look in all kinds of places for them. People look everywhere, and they might find success, but it's probably lasting success. It doesn't last forever. Or they might look in all kinds of dark and tragic and really sad places to fill a hole that they cannot keep on filling. And it doesn't really matter if you're sort of an uber-rich multi-billionaire thinking, oh, the next dollar will be enough to fill this hole inside me, this need inside me. Or if you're the other end of the social scale and you're heartbroken and you're lost and you're trying to find something at the bottom of a bottle or in a casino or whatever that looks like, you're not going to find it there either. It doesn't matter according to the world scale of what looks good and what looks like success. If you're looking for it in the world, whether it's the bottom of the world or the top of the world, you will not find it. You will not find it. You ever heard of the term rat race? People say about being in the rat race. It's a way of living in constant pursuit of wealth and power and status. But if you imagine a rat in a little wheel running and running and running and running, it don't go anywhere. It keeps on going, and it may feel like, hey, this is great. I'm moving along. But actually, it's not. It's not going anywhere. And that's because underpinning all these other needs that we have is something that is more important than all of them. More important than our physical needs, our emotional needs, our financial needs, our relational needs, our whatever needs we have a spiritual need. A spiritual need to be in relationship with our Creator. That is what He designed us for. And so if we don't have that, we're never going to feel whole. We're never going to feel complete because we're missing something that we were coded and we were constructed to have. And it is so important. And that is why Jesus is so, he rebukes these people so intensely, because he's saying, it doesn't matter how much bread and fish I give you. It doesn't matter if I cure your sight, heal your leprosy, or bring you back from the dead, or whatever it is. It doesn't matter if I do that, because if you don't come to me, and if you don't know me, in the end, it's not going to make a difference. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. That's the only way. We're going to continue this I Am series over the next few weeks, and we're going to look at things like Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is everything. We could just do a big umbrella statement of I am everything you are ever going to need. When Jesus says, come to me, he's saying, come to me and you will never be hungry or thirsty. Come to me and you will live forever. That's a promise that he makes them. You will live forever. Come to me and I will give you peace. Come to me and I will give you love. Come to me and I will give you freedom. Come to me and I will give you hope. Come to me and I will give you purpose. I will give you everything the world can't. Everything that it tries to offer and it pretends to offer, I will give you all of that and more. I think it's really sad how the crowd reacts to Jesus in this moment. He first describes this true bread that gives life to the world, and they say, sir, always give us this bread. And he goes, okay, let me explain a bit more to you. It's me. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry or thirsty. And they go, oh, hang on a minute. But we know you. You're Jesus. You're the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. How can you now say you came down from heaven? And they begin to question the validity of that. Just before that, they ask for a sign as well. They say, Jesus, you've got to show me a little something first. And he goes, I have been showing you so much. How do you not get it? But I think sometimes there's a reaction similar to that in the world. The world is full of so many promises to meet all these needs that we have and fill all these desires and these holes in our lives. And when the option of Jesus is presented, people go, well, hang on, how do I know? How do I know that's going to be good enough? How do I know that that's going to sort things out? Because the world gives me a free trial to something before I have to properly commit to it. Or the world gives me all kinds of different things. And I see other people who are rich, and they seem happy, they seem great, so I'll just go after that, actually. Or I see someone who's got loads and loads of friends, and I think, oh, actually, if I had more friends, I'd be more happy. And they seem to think that that is the easier route. Whereas Jesus just says, it's as simple as coming to me every single day and saying, hey, Jesus, be my saviour, and I will. And what's really sad is if you actually jump forward a little bit past what we've read, in John 6:66, it says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. I think that's heartbreaking. I think that's really sad. I don't want to be that kind of person. I don't want to be that kind of person who's challenged by Jesus and says, actually, no, Jesus, I'm out. Something else is easier. I believe that living with Jesus as the king of your life is the single best way you can possibly live. I lost my thing then. the crowd, they bring up the manna in the wilderness. They bring up their ancestors eating manna in the wilderness. And again, Jesus points to that same thing of, you're looking at what happened. You're looking at the thing they were given. But actually, God was giving that to them as a gift to provide for them, to say, look at how much I can offer you. And look at how much more I can offer you. And in the end, the manna ran out. Well, the manna stopped. And they died. And Jesus says, your ancestors went out every single day and collected manna, and yet what happened? They ended up dying. If you come to me every single day, you will not die, but you will have life eternal. And if we read the words of Jesus in other parts of the Bible, we know that when Jesus says life, he means life in all of its fullness. Yeah, when I was sort of writing the words for this morning, I just felt really, really prompted that it would be great to just end this time of me speaking with just a little time of reflection and response and a chance to just come before Jesus. And I'd love it if we could just ask ourselves some questions, thinking things along the lines of, are we focusing more on the gift than the one who gave it? Do we look at the good things in our lives, the things, the blessings that have been poured out on us, and get our fulfillment from them? Or do we allow them to point us back to Jesus? And do we go to the feet of our Savior in gratitude and in love because of what he's done in our lives? Are we looking to fulfill our needs in the wrong places? Are we going somewhere that isn't where Jesus would want us to go to fill those things because we don't know how else to do it? Or have we forgotten that going to Jesus daily and having a relationship with him is the most important thing because he is the source of all of our needs? All of our, he can supply everything that we need. I'd love it if we could just spend some time just reflecting on those things. I'm going to put the microphone down in a minute and hand back over to Josh and Susie and Paul. I believe that Jesus offers us all these things because he loves us. He gave his body for us because he loves us. And he wants us to know that he can be the source of everything that we need. So if you're looking in the wrong places, if you don't know where to look, come back to him this morning. Just kneel at his feet and say, Jesus, be my everything.